What I want to do is the area of the Meraglim. Okay. There are a few questions. The Pasuk says that Vayikra Moshe Lo Shea Ben Nun Yoshua. So Chazal say, Rashi quotes the Chazal, that Moshe Rabbeinu was saying that Ko Yoshiachom Matzas Meraglim. Correct, right? It's a Pasuk, Bamidbar Yigimel Pasuk says Zion. Yeah. So, it's follow love. Ko Yoshiachom Matzas Meraglim. So, of course, I mean, that's difficult to understand superficially because, first of all, if he knew there was a whole Atzas Meraglim going on, I mean, why would he send them? And secondly, I mean, some of the Chavanim may say, why wasn't he mispower for anybody else? Why wasn't he mispower for anybody else? Why just Yeshua Ben Nun? And we'll see, I mean, as we get into it a little more, that there's a lot beneath the surface here. And the whole incident of the Meraglim, and it was a very complex incident. I mean, that's the incident that was the basis for the served as the basis for the Chorban HaBayis. The another thing that's strange is in the in, if you take a look later, it says that when the Meraglim came back. So they said that Eretz Avos Chol V'Dvashi is a period of Eskiyaz Ha'om, and then it says, and then there was Machlekes between Kolev and between the other Meraglim, and then they said, then Kol Yisrael said, and then it says that the Yeshua ben Nun called him ben Yifunim and Atam Asarach Kor B'Deyim Vayomru, it's in Yudalad Zion Vayomru Kaldas Bnei Yisrael Lemar Oretz Shavarna Volosor Oretzor Tov Oretz Mod Mod. Okay, that's fine. And it's in it, but then the next passage, Gim Chofetz Bono Ad Hashem V'Hediyos Tono Oretz Azor Tono Tono Tono. I mean, what is the Yimchafet Bono Ad Hashem? I mean, it sounds like they wouldn't, they wouldn't Yimchafet Bono Ad Hashem. They should have said that this is, they're making it into something which is questionable. Yimchafet Bono Ad Hashem. And on the contrary, they should have said, that's why we're here, and obviously Ashgacha is with us, and we should go up. What is the Yimchafet Bono Ad Hashem? It's a strange kind of a statement. Okay. I want to ask another question that is from another place, which from the from another area, but hopefully we'll be able to answer it as we proceed. And that is in the in Korach. When Korach stepped up against Moshe Rabbeinu, so Moshe Rabbeinu answer him, and he answered him with a strange type of a taina. It says Bamidbar Tezayin Tes. Vayomer Shokar Shimon Ben Levi Amat Mikem Ki Hidzel Lekeisro Lescha Meadas Yisrael Lahakav Lescha Meilov Lavod Asavodas Mishkan Ad Hashem V'Lamod Lufnei Oedu L'Shorasam. This is a very strange kind of a taina. I mean, a taina of Moshe Rabbeinu. Why? Because I told you. Because the thing is, I mean, Mamanashach, is Moshe Rabbeinu's taina in the framework of in the framework of COVID? In other words, does he hold that that's the, that the purpose of the purpose of the kuna is for COVID? So if that's the case, so then it doesn't make any sense. Because it says, Hamaat ke lisano, Hamaat, I'm sorry, Hamaat mikem ki yidlo ke shol asem edas yisol lak vizchem elov, lavo resavos mishkan v'shem l'fnei, v'lamo l'fnei do'edin v'shor asom. So it's not enough that you're Levine, you want to be Kohanim, and you want to be Kohen Gadol too. Why could be Kasher, you want to be Gadol also. I mean, you don't say such a thing to a person in the framework of the material. It's like saying to somebody that it's not enough that you're a vice president, you want to be the president too. I mean, this means, of course, in that area, if it's an area of COVID, so is in the Dovasov? LMI, this is not an area of COVID. This is something that a person should not perceive as COVID. They should perceive it as a chiva mitzvah. So if it's chiva mitzvah, the whole time doesn't make any sense. What's the, what do you mean, Hamat Mikam? I mean, that he did do all the case for Eloshchem, Lachar Eshchem Elov. I mean, so, Vikashtem Gamguna. What kind of a time is that? I mean, it's not, you can't say, you can only say that it doesn't make any sense to say it if it's simply a chav. What do you mean, Vikashtem? The whole thing is not there for covered altogether. So the Mamonasha, I mean, if he thought that they perceive it in the framework of covered, so it doesn't make any sense because, of course, what a Chazal says, Mishiyeshna Manarot Masayim, I mean, person never has enough, a person has a certain amount of covered, always want more covered. So the Taina doesn't seem to make any sense if he's saying it in that framework, that they receive this. They should be happy they received this. This should appease their need for cover. Elamai has nothing to do with cover. So it's something that every person has to accept because the mitzvah and it has nothing to do with the entire area. So then the argument doesn't make any sense. Say, it's not enough that you got this. You want more. I mean, no one gets anything. I mean, each person does what they have to do, and this is not to be perceived as an area of cover altogether. But when Moshe Rabbeinu put the taina, it doesn't seem to make any sense because he put the taina in a framework where once you throw it into that framework of kavod, then it's in the soap. So what is? So of course they're not going to be satisfied. This taina, the Moshe Rabbeinu's taina is something which is, which seems difficult. Okay, so that's it's an outside question, but hopefully we'll resolve that question as we proceed. Yeah. I'd like to go back to the area of the Meraglim. One thing you see in the area of the Meraglim, you see right away that it's not such a simple matter. Simply, we mentioned before, Chazal say that Moshe Rabbeinu said, "Koyer shiachol me'atzas Meraglim," and that's one Chazal. So apparently, it wasn't an easy matter. In other words, you see that if it weren't, it would appear at least, if it weren't for Moshe Rabbeinu's tefillah, for Yoshua ben Nun, so he wouldn't have made it. Or at least Moshe Rabbeinu thought he wouldn't have made it. I mean, that's why he was misspelled for him. So what was the unbelievable difficulty there? I mean, it would seem that the people that came back, the Motziei Dibas Oretz Raw, the other Meraglim, I mean, they were Rishayim, and they died. They died rather quickly. And my Geifa. So you say that Moshe Rabbeinu was worried about his Talmud. I mean, his closest Talmud, that he had to give him Edmund Spala for him and change his name in order, Tzilo or Bracha, whatever. But in order to change his name, in order to save him from that fate. I mean, it sounds like a strange thing. I mean, it sounds like Yeshua Benu was a Tzadik Gomer. And why did Moshe Rabbeinu have to do that? I mean, what was there here in the Meraglim, in the whole situation of the Meraglim, that Moshe Rabbeinu perceived as a tremendous danger? I mean, a tremendous danger that even Yoshua ben Nun would have difficulty coping with it. It might even fail. I mean, you see there's something here beneath the surface. And then you see also by Kalev ben Yifuna, also it wasn't so easy for him to make it through the Nisayon of the Meraglim. course, the pasuk says, "Vayalu v'negev v'yavo at Chevron." So over there, it doesn't say "Vayalu v'negev v'yavo at Chevron," but it says "Vayavo at Chevron." So Rashi quotes Chazal, "Kolev levado halach sham v'neshtatach al kivrei avos shelo yehnisas lachaverav lios patzasam," that he shouldn't be influenced by his chaverim to join them in their etzah. V'cheinu omer v'lo atena sa'orta shadorach bo uksiv v'yitnu l'kolev eschevron. So you see, apparently Kolev ben Yefuna also recognized that there's a serious problem here. I mean, Kolev ben Yefuna was also tzadik gomer. So what was the danger that these two people, I mean, were, that and two different methods were used by two individuals, and they had to use these specific methods, different methods. One was the Tzilas Moshe Rabbeinu for his Talmud Yeshua, and to be Mishana his name, and the other, Kolev ben Yefuna, I mean, had to go to the Mishnatach or Kivri Ovos in order to get out of this tremendous Nisayan. I mean, apparently there was something there that wasn't such a simple matter of just not coming back and telling the people something that's not true, and Motzi Dibas Oretz Ra, and that would one would think that, I mean, Tzadikim wouldn't have to go to such an extent, I mean, to be protected from a simple thing like that. So obviously there's something was seriously something serious was brewing here. Yeah. If you take a look at the psukim, you really see that Moshe Rabbeinu sensed already the problem. There was a problem. And you see that he sensed the problem because, well, two ways. One is from the pasuk Shlach Lecha Anashim, which means that it was not a perfect situation, and the Kadosh Baruch Hu removed himself from the situation. So that was the one indication. But another indication is that you see that when Moshe Rabbeinu sent them, so he sent them. He said, "Risem es oretz mohi v'esama yoshev aleho echazaku arofa amatu amrof." But this is based upon the way Moshe Rabbeinu, there's two accounts of this incident. One account is over here, and one account is in Sefer Dvarim. In Sefer Dvarim, Moshe Rabbeinu mentions, he says that you said to me, Nishlecha Anashim Lefaneinu. Okay? So you see in the request, which Moshe Rabbeinu endorsed, so they wanted to know which way to go up. So they wanted to use their chachma in order to determine what's the best approach to the land. And Moshe Rabbeinu didn't object to that. But you see in the first account that it's not that simple, because if that's all they requested, so why did Moshe Rabbeinu say Amor Tashmeinu Him Rosa Hayesh Boitzimayin this Chazaktem Lekachtem Mepri Oretz? What was the purpose of that? This Chazaktem Lekachtem Mepri Oretz. So apparently Moshe Rabbeinu sensed already, he sensed with his chachma that this is not a simple request, but there is a tremendous resistance over here about going into the land. Basically, the machlek is what the resistance is. According to Rashi, the resistance was based on an unwillingness to accept the whole system, to see the system in its full form, and was part of the Chet of Arizara. According to the Ramban, it was It was the fact that they were fearful. They weren't able. They didn't have courage to go fight. They were fearful. That's the Ramban. But the psukim seem to endorse. I don't know if they're mutually exclusive. Actually, the psukim seem to endorse both, because when Kolev and when Kolev and Yeshua answered them, they said, "Ach bar Hashem al timrodu v'atem al tiru es amoret ki lachmeinu hain." Means both. "Ach bar Hashem al timrodu" means that there was in not wanting to go into Eretz Yisrael, there was a merit against the Kadosh Baruch Hu, and also there was the tremendous fear that they had to go to battle, fear of going to battle. Yeah, but Moshe Rabbeinu already sensed this problem. He sensed there was a problem here, and therefore he had an answer for the problem, or at least he thought he had an answer that would be successful for the problem. What was the Eitzah? The Eitzah was a simple Eitzah. It was to bring back the fruit of the land and to show them how fantastic it is, and therefore to use the emotion of the desire for the land to overcome the other emotion, which is the emotion of fear or the emotion of resistance. You see, to overcome the resistance, so he had an Eitzah. But Moshe Rabbeinu already sensed that there was resistance, but he thought of a remedy. His remedy was, these are just emotions, and the way for a leader to handle the situation is to, on the contrary, to counter with other emotions. That everybody wants to, and people have a tremendous desire, especially they're in the Midbar, to have their own place, and it's a beautiful place, it's a very powerful desire. So Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to pit that desire against the other emotions, in order that they should be in a position to follow the design of the Ashgach. That was his answer. And that's why he introduced other things that they really didn't ask for. Ma'orat Hashem Yoshubah, Tova Yimroh. Okay, Yesh Ba'etamayim. So that was basically Moshe Rabbeinu's Eitzah. That was the method that he thought would be successful. But the Atzas Meraglim, and also we have to understand, why is it called Atzas Meraglim? I mean, where is the Eitzah over there? And why don't we just say the Chet Meraglim? But Atzas means that there was a certain Eitzah. And Eitzah means like a sly type of thinking that is not really honest. That it's an underhanded type of approach. Not a straight approach. Not an overt. And it's an Eitzah. So the Eitzah is something which is I mean, it depends. An Eitzah Tova is good. But an Eitzah Ra is something which is a devious kind of a thing. So what was the Eitzah of the Meraglim? What was the Eitzah that they had? See, and I'm taking a little bit of liberty over here, but I think what the Eitzah of the Meraglim, what the Meraglim were, their idea was, they sensed also what the people wanted. They sensed that the people really didn't want to go. At this point, at least, they didn't want to go. They weren't ready. They weren't ready to go. So they thought, they knew that what the people would really want would be a report that's unfavorable. They knew that. So their Eitzah was to bring back, to work out a way, you see, to bring back a report, which on the one hand, first of all, you have to understand that they were afraid of Moshe Rabbeinu. They had a fear of Moshe Rabbeinu. And that, you see, the Ramban says. Ramban mentions that the part of the, that when they first, the first part of the report they brought back was pretty much okay, except Ephes, for the word Ephes. And I think also perhaps the gums of Asolovat Vashis also was a little bit of an indication that they were off course. The gum, yeah, it's true, but Ephes ki yazom. So the chet was really overtly in a very minuscule, had a minuscule form to it. But then later, when they, the Ramban says, on Pasman Beis, the Tam v'yotziyu dibas aret o b'nei Yisrael ki hochu mi lifnei Moshe v'aron v'yomim lo'om bo ha'leyem ki hi eret o cheles yoshvel. Ki netchilo kisho o'yom ha'am lifnei Moshe she'or zavos chol v'dvosh zulosi she'om chozek. Zulosi o'om chozek. Okay. V'kolei v'yom ha'ki yochal nuchalo. So, hayu ha'am poschim mehem Botchim b'kocham u'gvurasam, okay, u'me'en bezos Hashem b'giborim, ozo tziyu lehem diba b'sne atzmam, v'chsiv v'orot asher avarnu v'o, ah, chiyalina kol o'eda, okay, so in other words, the Rambans, you see, they had a fear of Moshe Rabbeinu, so they wouldn't openly in front of Moshe Rabbeinu say these things, but they went behind the scenes to the Am in order to get them in order to get them not to go. But it wasn't simply to get them not to go. You see, the twist was that they knew that's really what the Yam wanted to hear. And their intention was to come back with a report that would not result in them going to Eretz Yisrael, and on the contrary, that they would emerge as heroes of the people, because they'll be bringing the people the report that they want to hear. So that's why that was the Atzas Meraglim. The Atzas Meraglim was that they felt, they read the pulse of the people, they knew what the people wanted, and they thought that they would come back with a report that the people would be very happy with, and on the contrary, they will emerge as heroes of the people, you see. So what the parsha of the Meraglim really is about is about the fact that the Meraglim really had the Nesoyan of the Meraglim. And the sign of the Meraglim was the greatest of human nisyanos, and that is to be able to take a completely unpopular opinion against the people and to advise the people to do such a thing. That is the most difficult thing. And Moshe Rabbeinu knew that the Meraglim were not stupid people. They were called Nosivayim. I mean, Yitzhak Yeshua Benun and Kolben Yifuna. They weren't the same ones that were the Nisim before, Om the Malapkudim. But apparently, and it would seem that the reason why they weren't the same was because they were picked, the Rashbam talks about how they were chosen. They were chosen for this purpose, different purpose. So, they weren't necessarily people that were always involved in the, because the ones that were Om the Malapkudim, they were the ones that everything went, nothing happened without them. But these were different. They were chosen for this purpose. So they were different. And the Nisayon that they faced was that they also, the same problem as Moshe Rabbeinu sensed, that they're going to have to go now. They're charged with a mission to go and to bring back a report that the people are absolutely not going to like. And there was one way out. The way out is to bring back a report that people will be happy with. And this, then, that was the idea of the Eitzah, of the Yatzah. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu was afraid of. He knew that they were Chachamim. He knew they were very intelligent. He sensed the resistance. And he tried to overcome it by enticing them with the beauty of the land. But at the same time, he knew the difficulty that a human being has in going against the will of the masses of people and not having their acceptance, and he knew that they were in a tremendously precarious situation. Interesting thing. And you see how difficult it was? I mean, you know, it's very easy, of course, always to read the Torah, and these incidents, you know, seem very simple. How do they do this straight and how do they do the bad straight? I mean, after all, what was the big problem? They're in the Midbar. It's very easy to be in a Midbar day and night without a place to live. No problem for other people. But the same thing is true over here. That what the Torah tries to do, and through the Ma'amar Chazal and expanding on the Tarshish B'Chazav, is to really to try to for the purpose that looks a little deeper, for the person that looks a little deeper into the situation, to really show what the powerful emotions that were involved at the time and what those emotions were. The emotions were that the leaders, these people who were chosen, since they knew what the people wanted to hear and they knew what they were supposed to do, and Moshe Rabbeinu knew they were in tremendous danger, because in order to do what they were supposed to do would require an unbelievable gevurah. It's an interesting thing. The heroes of Yehadus are always different than the heroes of the world. Because, and even the way the world reads this very story, and I mean by the world, I mean a person that doesn't go into it any deeper. So they read the two people that were tzaddikim, Yeshua ben Nun and Kol ben Yefune, they were natural tzaddikim. I mean, that's it. The other ones are natural rishayim, and it's very simple. But when you look at Chazal, that Kalev ben Yefune really would have capitulated. He would not have been able to do it. Apparently, he would not. He sensed himself. That's why he said that he shouldn't be nisaf by his chaverim, by the other meraglim, because he sensed himself emotionally the power of the of going against the force, of going against the people and what the people wanted to hear. It was such a powerful thing himself emotionally that Vayavarat Chevron, he had to go right away to Kivayavas to Mishtatech in order to save himself from that, from being overcome by the emotion. It's an amazing thing. You see, our heroes are heroes through Meisim, not through character. Because character only goes so far. A person can have very good character, it's very nice. But yeah, strong character can help a person in small situations. But when a person's against really powerful emotions, I don't care what kind of a character he has, he simply reaches a point where he's unable to function. Then what does he do then? The strongest colleague was, he saw that the difficulty of going against or the whole crowd, going against the 3 million people, will require some working on it. He had to make recourse to a special process that would raise him to a different level, and that was the Ishtatech al Kivrei Avos. Ishtatech al Kivrei Avos. We'll get back to later what exactly why Ishtatech al Kivrei Avos was something that helped Kolev to be able to succeed. But you see, I would say like this: the what the world looks up to as a hero is a person of a strong emotional character. Yehadus holds emotions, no matter how strong, can never bring a person through ultimately to ultimate success. That is only chachma, which means that he has to use means through Chachmas HaTorah in order to overcome the situation. But it's not, you can never relate it to, the world doesn't like such heroes. If the world likes heroes, related to him, it's part of him. The person's character, you think, is part of him. But this is like something he did, and only through the fact that he did this, and had he not done this, he never would have been successful. So that the world really doesn't look at it as a hero. Because it's tied to an event, you see. That is exactly, precisely the hero of Yadav. That's why, in truth, Yadav has no hero. So it's interesting. So Korah ben Yefuna had to make recourse to his own special process, and Yehoshua ben Nun didn't need that. Yehoshua ben Nun, though, however, Moshe Rabbeinu knew that Yehoshua ben Nun would need it something, that he was in danger also, and he was also in the grips of this powerful emotion, because they sensed it the moment they were chosen. You have to understand, if you go back into the situation, now it seems very simple. But at the time, they sensed, when Nishlacha Anoshim Lefonenu, they sensed the pressure of the Am. They're sending them there. They want to hear they know what they're supposed to bring back. So under that pressure, Yehoshua ben Nun also was collapsing. And Moshe Rabbeinu, through changing his name, was able to bring him back. Koyer Shiach Omeatas Maragos. Yeah. Just a minute. The question is, the question one of the Achronim asks is, why did Moshe Rabbeinu be mispahal for the other one? Why only Yehoshua ben Nun? Yeah. But the thing is like this, that the answer is that Moshe Rabbeinu's tefillah only works for Yehoshua ben Nun. It only works for Yehoshua ben Nun. By Yehoshua ben Nun, by Moshe Rabbeinu changing his name, he really gave him advice on how, it's not simply just change his name, and he just was a follower of Yehoshua, and his tefillah worked. Just to feel, first of all, he wouldn't be allowed to be misspelled in order to help him out. Because, what do you mean? I mean, if a person's going to do a Maisa Rishis, he has a Bechira. It's his Bechira. HaKadosh Baruch Hu never takes away a person's Bechira. So Moshe Rabbeinu's Tefillah could not make Yehoshua ben Nun be successful. Because that would mean that the Tefillah is going to override his Bechira. And then, of course, the cash is very good, so why should he, if that were the case, which it can't be anyway, but if that were the case, then why should he single out Yeshua as nice as Tom? What about other people also? Rafa Rechakamava, I can't distinguish. Yeah.
Rabbi?
Yes.
Because it says Koshiacha, that means he's talking to Yeshua at the time.
I understand. I'm saying, yeah, I understand. That's what I'm going to get to. That Koy Yeshiacha Meyatzas Meragrim was not a tefillah. Yeah, it was. We say a lot of things to derech tefillah. It was, but it was really Moshe Rabbeinu was really guiding Yehoshua ben Nun in how to overcome the his emotions at the time. Yeah. It's interesting. We're doing some piyutim this morning. So the first one by Rabbi Elazar Kalir, Shavas suru meni shimuni ochrai. So it's based on the last day psukim in Echa. So shavas means shavas mesos lidena. And then he goes on. He says suru meni shimuni ochrai. So it means to say that the oppressors didn't want to have anything to do with Klal Yisrael. And Shiumos Hasimuni Bedre Chaverai. And they looked at us as being despicable. And but then he switches, he says, Sakosa Mishkan Mischos Devirai, which means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't listen to the Tefillahs. And then he goes back to the enemies and he says, Sofku Chaf Uma Du Evorai. Okay? Kesila Chola Birai, when they destroyed all our heroes. So the order is really not proper. The way he should have done it was like this. Then he should have said Sofku Chafu Modu Evarai and Kesila Cholabirai, and then the reason, because Sakosa Mishkan Mischos Devirai, which is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu put up a barrier between Klal Yisrael and himself, and he didn't listen to Klal Yisrael's Tfilis. So why did he change the order? Why did the Pint and Water below the Kalir change the order? He put the interspersed the cause with the description of the tragedy. So what we said is like this, that the that really, we'll get back to expand a little more on it. But there's a concept, the Yadus has its own politics. There's a Machiavellian politics in the world, there's a logical type of politics. Yadus has its own system of politics. A different kind of a system. And there are certain things, and I'd like to at least point out three elements before the shiur is over, that are prominent in the politics, in the politics system of the other. And one of them is found over here. I think that's what the Python is trying to draw
our attention. Since 1995, Union Telecard Alliance has been bringing you the best in prepaid calling card services for international.
Hello, are we still here?
Hello.
We're back.
Oh, we're back. Okay. Yeah, I guess every few minutes they interrupt. Okay, anyway, so what we said is like this, that one of the elements, perhaps the most important element, is never to view an adversary as a primary figure. In other words, the adversary is not a primary figure. The adversary is only viewed as an aspect of our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But he's not viewed in a primary sense. And that's why if you look through Eicha, you'll see, we mentioned this, that there are certain things in Eicha that a person simply wouldn't say. If a person doesn't want to be defeated, he's not going to, and he wants to go on, so then he's not going to talk about how the enemy was able to destroy him and how the enemy rejoiced and talk about how the enemy, the success of the enemy. I mean, it's something which is a person doesn't want to hear about, doesn't want to think about. So the only people that are that honest about their own weakness and their own defeat and expand on the elements of the defeat and how the enemy was so successful and he was so happy and everything that he was rejoicing about is a person who was in total depression. But Eicha is not depression. Eicha is kinos, and a depressed person can't go on, can't function anymore. But in Eicha, you see, on the contrary, do function. Shiveni Hashem Alach v'Neshuva, and the Nachpasa Dorchkenu v'Nachkar v'Neshuva Hashem. So it's not depression at all. And the question is, so it's not depression. So why are we talking about how the enemy was so successful and how happy he was? The answer is because we really don't care about him in a primary sense. We care about him, and we'll get back to that later in a different sense. But as an adversary, he is not a primary figure. He's just a part of the Ashgaha. So therefore, we only talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's no problem. Then the enemy, we could talk about how we were degraded by the enemy, and how the enemy was successful, and he was laughing, he was mocking us and rejoicing. That's because we really he's not a primary figure. The one of the elements, and that's what Rabbi Elazar Kalir is pointing out, and is in the politics of Yadus, and that's true for Tzibur, and it's true for Yachid as well. And that's true by David HaMelech and Sefer Tillim also. In his own Shira, also, if you read it, the way he talks about the enemy, you can only talk about an enemy that way if the enemy is not a primary figure. He's secondary. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is primary, he's secondary. Plays a secondary role. Yeah. So the So that's why, I mean, that's why the Python formulates it that way. What Moshe Rabbeinu said to Yehoshua ben Nun was the same idea, but in a different form. Kor Yeshiacho Matzaf Maradon. It means to say, what he meant to say was that midah, the ability to look at other individuals not as primary figures, but simply as elements that are playing a role in a relationship between you and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the thing that saved Yehoshua ben Nun. Kor Yehoshiacho Matzaf Maradon. Which means to say, the recognition, what Moshe Rabbeinu was telling Yehoshua ben Nun was like this, that if you're going with these individuals and their primary figures in this venture, then you're going to fail. But Kor Yehoshiacho Matzaf Maradon. If you recognize that these other individuals, this venture that you're on is only between you and the Rabbi Nishalom. These other individuals, yeah, they're involved, but they aren't primary figures. Then you're able to be successful. That was the feel of Moshe Rabbeinu. Kor Yehoshiacho Matzaf Maradon. And when Moshe Rabbeinu, and he changed his Talmud's name, by calling him Yeshua, the Medrash, you have to understand how to read a Medrash. You can't read a Medrash literally, as you know. We don't know exactly what is the Medrash expounding on what Moshe Rabbeinu actually said, whether he actually said Kor Yehoshiacho Matzaf Maradon, or whether simply Vayikra Moshe Moshe ben Nun Yehoshua, and that's all he had to do. And as soon as he changed his name to Yeshua, Yehoshua ben Nun understood. Why is he? Well, what does it mean? And he recognized and he understood Kor Yehoshiacho Matzaf Maradon. That's the and he was the best Talmud, and he understood what his Rebbe was advising him, was directing him where to go, and he took his understanding, and he was successful. But it would seem, as I said before, that without Moshe Rabbeinu, or at least Moshe Rabbeinu certainly thought that way, that without him doing that, he would have failed. He would not have been able to do it. It's an interesting thing. You take a look in Bamidbar and Pinchas, that from this incident apparently made a change in Yehoshua ben Nun, a permanent change in Yehoshua ben Nun. Because the pasuk says like this, Moshe Rabbeinu said, "Adab Moshe Hashem Lemor in Bamidbar Chaf Zayin Tes Zayin Yifkar Hashem Melakei Ruchos L'chol Basa Isha Lo Eda Asher Yetzir L'Sneim Asher Yovel L'Sneim Asher Yetzir Asher Velosia Asher Yetzir Velosia Adas Hashem Katzon Asher Ein Lam Roa Vayomer Hashem Al Moshe Kach L'chos Yehoshua Ben Nun Ish Asher Ruach Bo." So Rashi says, what does it mean, Isha Sher Ruach Bo? Kasher Sho'alto, Sheyuchal Lahaloch Kineged Rucho, Shel Kol Echad V'Echad. That he can go against the will of every single individual. So that was Moshe Rabbeinu's request. Elokeya Ruchos L'chol Basa. Yeah. So the question is a matter of semantics. Where do you see that? It says Isha Sher Ruach Bo. It doesn't say Isha Sher Yochala. I mean, whatever the semantics would have been, but Isha Sher Ruach Bo just means he has a ruach. So what does it say? How do you derive from that? She Yuchal Lahalech Kineged Rucho Shel Kolecha Zechad. But the answer is very simple. The answer is Isha Sher Ruach Bo means because most people attain their ruach from others. That's how they get their ruach. When other people accept them, when other people praise them, so this gives them the ruach. That's the ruach of the politician. Where does the politician get his His courage from? His energy? Well, what's the source of his energy? Is the people. He's willing to forego embarrassment and boucher on a small plane in order to attain recognition and acceptance on a large plane. So basically, the politician his ruach is not ruach bo. His ruach is a ruach that comes from the outside, from other people. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu, Kach l'chos Yeshua ben Nun, isha she ruach bo. He has his own ruach. He has an intrinsic ruach. His ruach, he doesn't thrive on the support and the acceptance of others. That's not the source of his ruach. His ruach is from himself. Where did he get that ruach from himself? That ruach from himself was from Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu changed Vayikra Moshe Lashay ben Nun Yehoshua. So then, Koy Yeshiachol Matzah Meraglim. So once, there's no such thing really, apparently, there's no such thing as a person, according to Yahadis, as a person being so strong that through character alone, he should be able to do that which is right, as I mentioned before, and to go connected Ruach Shel Kol Adam Vav. You can't do it. It's a psychological impossibility. You just can't do it. Yeah, there are certain people that can do it to a certain extent, and certain people do it to a greater extent. But in an ultimate sense, it's impossible to do. Impossible to do, because that's human nature. That's what a person wants acceptance. But there is only one way that a person can do it. That's Kor Yoshiach HaMatzah Meraglim. It means if his relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu as such is primary, and that's the essential, that's his essential focus on the whole world, and his whole existence is based on cause, based on his relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and everybody else is incidental, then it's a different picture that he sees. Because it's a different thought. It's a different quality, a different type. Not just that he had the strongest character, he can go and fight everybody. Ultimately, a person can't be successful. A person needs this acceptance at some point, somewhere. Some people are stronger, some people are weaker. But even the strongest person ultimately will not be able to do it. And that was received in the Sion. They were strong people. Strong was they good. Moshe Rabbeinu recognized something deeper. That kind of strength will only take you so far. But there's something else that's needed. And that was the bracha, the tefillah of Kor Yoshiach Vayikra Moshe Lashay Benun Yoshua. And you see that having the incident of the Meraglim, basically, I mean, that's Kadosh Baruch Hu's Chesbonus, but the incident of the Meraglim really, really helped to make Yeshua ben Nun. I mean, Yisha Sher Ruach Baal. Yeah. That was the method that Yeshua was able to overcome those powerful emotions. But Kolev ben Yifuneh was not the same Talmud of Moshe Rabbeinu as Yeshua ben Nun, and changing his name would not have helped him. I mean, that was something that in a certain sense, Rebbe knows the Talmud more than anybody else, and Moshe Rabbeinu knew that this was for Yeshua ben Nun. This was the correct. That's all he needed. That's all Yeshua ben Nun needed. Kolev ben Yifuneh is different. Kolev ben Yifuneh really used a different method, a different process. What was his method? He was mishtatech al kivrei avos. Yeah. So what was involved in that method? What kind of a method was it? Yeah. An interesting thing. Yes? Interesting thing that the Torah is divided, in one framework, you could say the Torah is divided into two parts. The Torah is divided into Kodem Matan Torah and Ayin Racha Matan Torah. And the Torah makes a point of it. I mean, the Torah doesn't try to hide or rush through, I should say, rush through the Kodem Matan Torah after. Sometimes you see the Torah is rushing, as the Rebbe used to say. If the Torah is rushing through certain areas, you know, it goes through quickly, Chazal say, I mean, Nayach quickly to get to Avraham Avinu. That's the basic point. So you can speak about it as if the Torah is rushing through. But when it comes to Kodem Matan Torah, the Torah takes its time, very lengthy. Very lengthy, takes plenty of time. So you see that the Torah really emphasizes this man. I mean, if it were an ordinary system, would never work that way. An ordinary system is not going to spend time on things that happened before the system. On the contrary, for them, the reality is the system. So therefore, if a person is involved in a system, whether it's a religion or whether it's a government, whatever it might be, and you're writing a history of it, the main point would be the framework, at least. I mean, you might want to write you might want to go back to time before, but you wouldn't emphasize it in the same manner, in the same seriousness, in the same make it the same entity of limud before the system as when you have the system. The system is, after all, what you want. Why should we be talking about Avraham Avinu and not know? I mean, okay, it's a machlokes, but many Rishonim hold, and the Rambam Baroshim and Gainim too, that the others never did mitzvahs. They never did any of the mitzvahs. And certainly the Torah didn't resolve this problem, didn't see fit to resolve it. I mean, they never said anywhere anything openly. Okay, they bring Raya Falkan, but one of the Gainim writes and says this is a problem we can never resolve. We don't know. Okay. Rambam took the position, like other Rishonim too, that the others never kept the mitzvahs. Never kept the other mitzvahs. The only certain mitzvahs, the Shev Mitzvah, and a few more that they added, the Rambam gives a list. So why should the Torah, I mean, write and emphasize about these people when they didn't do the same thing that we did? It's a strange thing. I mean, you want to, usually people feel like they're members of the club. This is the club, so you don't want to talk about people that are outside the club, and certainly not to say that these people are ones that we look up to and learn from as the greatest individuals. I mean, the whole system is a strange thing. Yeah. But the answer is that the system of Yahadus is the way it's constructed. That, of course, shows, I mean, the answer to this question directly is, of course, shows what the Ramban says and also the Chavos HaLevavos. Many Rishonim point out that the whole purpose of all the mitzvahs, I mean, it's something which you can't deny it. That only people that just don't have any das deny it, that the purpose of all the mitzvahs is really perfection of an Adam. And that's why the others doesn't matter, they didn't keep the mitzvahs, they didn't have to keep the mitzvahs because they were perfected, and we learn from their perfection. That's, of course, the purpose of all the mitzvahs, and that's clear. But you have to understand that there was a tremendous transition between Kodem Matan Torah and Lachem Matan Torah, and it's good to have an idea as to what exactly that transition was. There's an interesting Rashi. Rashi says in the end of Baal Oscha, so Rashi says like this. Rashi says, by the fate when Miriam spoke against Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moshe Rabbeinu. So he says like this. Rashi says that the Pasuk says, Kadosh Baruch says, Lochein Avdi Moshe B'chol Beis Yinemanu Pe'al Pa Adalbo B'nibba Yud Beis Ches Umar V'lo V'chidos Usmunas Ad Hashem Yabit Umadua Lo Yereisem L'daber Ba'avdi B'Moshe. As I mentioned, I mean, you see that an amazing thing that as close as they were, they still didn't know who it was. An interesting thing. But Rashi says like this. He says, Madua Lo Yereisem L'daber Ba'avdi B'Moshe Ain't Omer Ba'avdi Moshe, Ella Ba'avdi B'Moshe. Ba'avdi, Afal Pisha Ain't Moshe. B'Moshe, Afilu Ain't Avdi. This is a strange thing. Even if you had one without the other, he says, Kedaya Yisam Liramipanov, the Kosh King, Shehu Avdi, David Melech Melech, Hoyalachem Lama, and the Melech Orvachinam, then Tomru, Ena Makim Maisov, the Kosh Miroshana. Okay, fine. But the point I want to mention is, what does it mean, Avdi B'Moshe? I mean, isn't it really the same thing? I mean, if it's Moshe and Avdi is really the same. I mean, how could you separate those two things? The reason why he's the Eved Hashem is because he's Moshe, he's perfection. How could you say Ba'avdi Alpha Pishaino Moshe and Ba'Moshe Alpha Pishaino Avdi? You see what I mean? It would seem kind of hard. You know what I mean? If it's exactly the same thing, so what's the point of mentioning it? You see, there's two different ways of knowing this. I mean, he's Avdi because he's Moshe. It's one thing. How do you separate it, though? It's not an interesting thing. The interesting thing is, you see that Moshe Rabbeinu really never wanted to go on his mission, to accept his mission. The 7 days before it was with Kodesh Baruch Hu, the Pasuk makes it clear that he was from the Tosh Bukhtava itself, you see clearly, he was fighting with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, did not want to shlach Nabi Yatishla, did not want to go, did not want to do it. So the question, of course, people ask is, what does it mean that Avram Avinu was greater than Moshe Rabbeinu? Avram Avinu never complained, he never fought with the Kodesh Baruch Hu or whatever. Lech lecha me'atzchom alazchom beit avicho. He did what Hakadosh Baruch Hu told him to do, and he never was upset about it. Moshe Rabbeinu, and it would seem when you read the Torah superficially, you think if that were Avraham Avinu, he wouldn't have any problem. He would have accepted. Moshe Rabbeinu, strange, different type of personality. What is this? Why was it that way? The answer is you have to understand the difference between Kodem Matan Torah and between La'acha Matan Torah. And the difference, Kodem Matan Torah, La'acha Matan Torah, are two different systems. Two different systems, and they involve you can't say two different perfections, but it's a different aspect of perfection that the La'acha Matan Torah draws a person into. And that as we're going to come back, we'll have to do with the whole concept of the Chorban HaBayis, to understand what the Chorban HaBayis really means. I mean, if you ask a person why he's a doig today, and a person that keeps halacha and is a sincere individual, will have a hard time really answering what the problem is. What is he missing? I mean, this time right now we're in thank God we're in a time of Golus. It's very, very good. I mean, people are very prosperous. Jews have plenty of recognition. There's nothing you can't complain. I mean, so what is he really crying and wailing about? And what is he missing? What's really bothering him? I mean, there's something. That's why Chazal say it's hard to be dog of a chob, because it's easy to do the activities, and that's virtuous because the mice itself is something which is Maris Opinius. I mean, cause the person to think about it and drive them towards the right ideas, but most people would be at a loss to simply explain why are they in a state of mourning on Tisha B'Av. They're not supposed to mourn about the Beis Hamikdash. They're not supposed to, but what does that mean, and why? What is he missing? So you have to understand the difference in Kodem Matan Torah and Lacha Matan Torah. That's the key. Kodem Matan Torah and Lacha Matan Torah are two different systems. See, the reason why Moshe Rabbeinu fought with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he argued, he would never have argued if it were the same thing as Avraham Avinu. In Avraham Avinu's the dust of Avraham Avinu was a natural dust. What do I mean a natural dust? I mean it was a dust that was simply based on what is the best thing for man. And Odom B'Tselem Elokim has a certain design and a certain kind of existence, and Avraham Avinu discovered it. He discovered HaKadosh Baruch Hu and discovered Derech HaChayim, and he went in that Derech And he told others, because of his Avas Hashem, he was always engaged in telling others of his great discovery of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, his discovery of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But that's a natural das. He did that way. He did things which everything Avraham Avinu did, he argued, he showed, and he proved that this is the only thing to do. There's no choice. I mean, yes, if you want to be crazy, okay, I can't help you, but this is what Seichel demands. And this is the great benefit. He uncovered the greatest benefit that a person wouldn't even know about if he lived the other way. So how can anybody argue with it? I mean, why wouldn't you want to do this? That was the das before Matan Torah. Kodesh Matan Torah. It simply was a das of perfection. Matan Torah introduced a whole new scheme. A whole new scheme. You see what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Moshe Rabbeinu? Vatan tiyu li mamlechas kohanim v'gay kodosh. Eilat dvomer shet d'avar v'nitha. What does it mean? Mamlechas kohanim v'gay kodosh means if we are the kohanim, that means we're the nation of kohanim, that means now HaKadosh Baruch Hu has singled us out among the umos and given us and have endowed us with a certain mission, a certain responsibility. I mean, that's what it is. Mamlech is kind of a guy Kurdish. I mean, you see, and all through Tanakh, I mean, the fact that the Navi always talks about Yumos Olam, and you see, we have to have a primary concern for the Yumos Olam, the Shivim Kabanos, and Sukkos, and it's a whole. I don't think people appreciate the idea, but Matan Torah is really a whole new role. It's a different dimension. Moshe Rabbeinu would never argue with a Kadosh Baruch Hu on the Das HaEmes. It's ridiculous. But this was something else. This was that a Kadosh Baruch Hu took Moshe Rabbeinu and he wanted to engage him in a whole new system. That he should be the leader of this whole new system. This whole new scheme of Mamlechas Kain and the Gai Kadosh. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu didn't want to do. That's what he turned down. He wasn't confronted with such a situation. With him, it was just a question of the Das HaEmes. With Moshe Rabbeinu, it was a whole new undertaking, a different, a whole new scene. It's no more a situation where you're doing that which is best for you philosophically. Now there's another consideration. A consideration of doing things on a different plane because of how it affects Umos Olam and because of the whole system of Tikkun HaOlam, and therefore Klal Yisrael was chosen as an instrument to be the ones that are engaged in this process. This is a whole new system. The Tired Mitzvah is not designed simply for the perfection of a Yachid. Perfection of a Yachid was Kodesh Matan Torah. Tired Mitzvah is a different kind of a system. And Moshe Rabbeinu was chosen as the individual to be the head of this whole new system. That he didn't want to do. He said, Shlach no be at the Shlach. This is not me. But he had all arguments. The arguments were against the system of La'acha Matan Torah. Not Avraham Avinu had a totally different thing. So you see, that's why Moshe Rabbeinu is called Eved Hashem. A Yomosha Moshe Eved Hashem. Eved Hashem. Why Avram is not called Eved Hashem? Avram is called Oavid. What did they call him? Zera Avram Oavid. Avram is Oav Hashem. He's Mekayim Mitzvot Avas Hashem. But Eved, the term Eved, is reserved really for Moshe Rabbeinu. Why? Because Eved has to do with a different thing. Eved means he's a servant. He's a servant means he's on a mission. The Odon is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the Odon is telling him to do such and such. He's involved in Tikkun HaOlam. It's a different kind of a thing. It's not simply just perfection because it's best for you, as a Yachid. It's a different kind of a mission. So that's what the puzzle is. Madua lo yureisim v'daber ba'avdi b'marsha. I mean, he was chosen as my Eved. Why? To accomplish this whole new established system of Mamlechus Kohanim V'Goy Kadosh. So I chose him as for that role. So you should have been afraid. I don't just choose anybody for such a role. And forget about that. But what about his personal perfection? B'moshe, Madula Reisim L'Davar B'moshe. On his own, he doesn't need, even without the fact that he was chosen, but even without his role as an Eved, his own perfection, his own perfection, he still shouldn't have spoken again. So it's two different dimensions. And really, that's what we mentioned this morning, we're doing it again, going back to that first, the first stanza in the Kinos with by Rabbi Loza Kalir. So you see, he says like this: Shavas, that Shavas Mesos Lidenu, Suin Meni Shimuni Okrai, Sechiu Mal Sesimuni Be'Edrei Chavera. So somebody asked very well. They said, you know, why? It's a tie to the Sanskrit. I mean, first he's saying that they're Okrai, they're my enemies, they're my destroyers, and now he's saying that they're my Chaveran, Be'edrei Chavera. Yeah, the question is a very good question. But the answer is like this. The answer is, the Umos Olam have a unique role in terms of our Avodah. We the whole Mamlechus kind of a good Kaddish means that we're an Umos Bein Umos. If not Bein Umos, then there's no Mamlechus kind of a guy Kaddish. So a person that just wants to be himself religious and just negate the other Umos, Shaul Umos, he's not part of Lachamantara. He's not part of Lachamantara. That's he can't call the other Umos Chaverai. The reason why it's called Chavera is because we have to deal with the other Umos. We have to be concerned about them, and that's really the Mamlechus kind of a good Kaddish and the structure of the Tayag Mitzvah. And Chidumos, so what the Python is saying is, he's showing the tragedy because he's showing the exact opposite of what should be. That we really should be the ones, the role, Chol Amaros Kishem Arishem, Nikro Alech of the Yor Mimeko. And now it's exactly the opposite. Chidumos, Hesimuni Be'edrei Chavera. Exactly the opposite. Now, why, and this is another thing, you see, the Python really, it's Rav Loza Kalir, the Chacham Gadol, as you know, I mean, Taisus held it as a Tana. You see, he gets to the crux of what the whole Eicha is about. Like we mentioned this morning, you get lost in a lot of places in Eicha, a lot of things there. But you see, he shows you the nature, the focus of the whole Kino. The Kino really is not insofar as we are concerned personally, what we suffered personally, because as I said before, personally, if that's the case, there were many times in the Golas throughout history, there were times when Jews had it very good. In Spain now, there'll be no reason for Tisha B'Av. What the Python is telling us is that the churban and the tragedy and the kino is insofar as our role being completely subverted, distorted, and actually being placed in the opposite situation, the opposite role of where we should be. The distortion in terms of the tikkun olam. You see, our role in tikkun olam. That's really you look at Yirmiyahu, if you look at Eicha. So you see that Eicha does tell you certain tragic things, tragic events, but it doesn't dwell on them. I mean, just parenthetically, horrible things, but very short. There you feel like he's trying to rush over it. Not really. Why? Because he doesn't want, the Navi didn't want a person to be absorbed in just your own emotional side. Of course, it's a terrible tragedy, and every individual has to try to do everything they can to prevent another human being from being in a state of tragedy. But why are we going over all the tragedies of the past? What do we care? The answer is, not because we suffer these things and we're trying to get something back I mean, for reparations for the suffering. No. It's not the personal suffering. It's the distortion in terms of the tikkun olam, in terms of the ratzon HaKadosh Baruch Hu of atem tiyuli mamlechus kehanu v'gai kadosh. That's the essence of the kinyan. It's the whole. It means the ratzon Hashem is. The ratzon Hashem lies in a state of totally undone. I mean, and that's why you see later. You see where he says that. And then the second one, he says that also the nichom vayikol of the chiyah. In the end of the second stanza, the noam aleila ani vachiyah, as if kaviyachol hakadosh baruch hu is saying aleila ani vachiyah, which means to say that it's against his will. We're living in a situation we had the situation where we could have implemented the will of hakadosh baruch hu, and we didn't do it. And because we didn't do it, that's the tragedy. So everything else is really just like a small little piece in the overall picture. The overall picture is what the Python really picks out right away right in the beginning of his kina in the shava. Yeah. But the question is like this. That is true. There's no doubt about it. That is true, and that really is the. That's really the essence of the keynote. That's really the focus of the keynote. But the question is still, a person feels. I mean, okay. So why? Somehow or other, there still is something, an element missing over here in terms of understanding why we should feel the Churban HaBayis, the Tisha B'Av. And I'll tell you what it is. The Rambam says, you see, the Tisha B'Av is really the opposite. Korolai Moe. Tisha B'Av is the opposite of Moe, but opposites are very closely related. And see, the Rambam says, if you got a Rambam in Chelek Aleph, that's Mamun, you're good. Yeah. Now, it's strange to be reading about the Rambam Simchas Torah on Tisha B'Av, but as I said, the opposites are very closely related. The Rambam says in the end of Hilchos Sukkah, so the Rambam says like this. The Rambam says, "Hasimcha sheyismach odom ba'asiyas ha-mitzvah u'ba'ava sateo she'tiva ba'en avoda gedolai." So you see, that's really in the Klolos, the Teichach. So the Teichach, and Rambam points out, I mean, something which ordinarily you don't see right away on the surface, but the Rambam points out that what is the cause, the underlying cause of all the Klolos, of all the whole Teichach, is Tachas Hashem Lo Avadat Hashem Lo Kecha B'Simcha V'Tuv Leivah. I said, okay, so I'm not a Sameach. I did all the mitzvahs. You see, I did all the mitzvahs. So why because of that? Because I wasn't a Sameach, so that's why I deserve all these unctions. I mean, it doesn't seem to me, it seems to be that the punishment doesn't fit the crime. Yeah. But the pshat is like this. You see, the Tachas Asher Lo Avadato is really the link. Because the question is, why should we really, and this I think is the question that bothers most people, why should we really be concerned? Okay, it's a nice mission, whatever, it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mission, but we feel somehow or other that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's business. Why did I get dragged into this? You see? Like, why am I responsible? What is the link? I mean, what is the link between myself and between the Tikkun HaOlam, the Atem Tiyuli Mamlechus Kehanu V'Gai Kadosh? So that's what the Rambam answers. He says the pasuk. It means to say like this. He says that it's based, it's like the Rambam mentioned somewhere, he says that the Torah is an unbelievable system, but he says, but it requires something before. It needs a certain person on a certain level of chachma. Ibn Ezra says the exact same thing. That you cannot have Torah unless you have a chacham. Without a chacham, you just can't do it. It presupposes a certain level of Adam. See, Tachat Shalom Vanato Hashem Lekecha Besumcha V'Tuv Levav means like this. It means that you cannot, and that's why you have Kodem Matzah. Without Kodem Matzah, there's no Matzah. It's impossible. It's not just because the Pasuk says that there is the Bris Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov. It's just it's simply impossible. Why? Because Avram Yitzchak, Elekei Avram, Elekei Yitzchak, Elekei Yaakov, it means the Yediyas Hashem of Avram Avinu. That Yediyas Hashem is a necessary basis from which, you see, because we are very, very far from Yediyas Hashem. As a matter of fact, a human being cannot really have Yediyas Hashem per se. He can only have a Yediyah according to the tool he was given. He was given a certain tool, a Tzelem Elokim, which can penetrate to a certain level. That's his Yediyas Hashem. It's not a Yediyas Hashem. It's not Yediyas Hashem per se, because Hashem is not something that we're capable of knowing. He's not like an object that he could be investigated and be known. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us a tool, a Tzelem Elokim, through which, if we perfect it, we can gain a certain type of knowledge. It's a type of knowledge, not ultimate knowledge, but it's a type of knowledge. So that's why I say Moshe Ben says Liyuro es Hashem Hanichbor Azeh. Why does it say Hashem Hanichbor? What is Hashem? Hashem is a name. A name, it comes from the term name, because a name is something that a person gives to somebody. You see, so it means to say it's our perception of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem HaNechbar. This name, meaning this idea that we as human beings have. It's not real knowledge. It's on our level knowledge. It's a shame. Hashem HaNechbar. That's why we use the term Hashem. Baruch Shem Tzvam HaKadosh. The Shem Hashem. Shem Hashem means Shem Hashem is a statement that tells you immediately that Yediyas Hashem is not like the idea of a table or any other object that is subject to investigation. It means it's a name, an idea, that you, according to the tool that you have, can arrive at that idea. Then, if you do, then you're on the highest level of Adam. But in terms of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's not Yediyah. In terms of us, it's Yediyah. In terms of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's not Yediyah. Not Yediyah at all. But the what I'm saying is that Ram says in the first paragraph, Baruch Hu is makir ba'atzmo, he says, and no one else, even the highest malachim, are not makir bo like he's makir himself. He means because everything else is created, and a created element is created in a certain design, in a certain way to achieve a certain level, but it's not really there. It's Yediyah according to the element. In the frame, in our framework, it's Yediyah. Not in the ultimate frame. The ultimate frame is only a Kodesh Baruch. That's what I say, Hashem HaNechbarazah. So the, yes. But Yediyah Hashem is really the knowledge of the element. And on the contrary, the more a person Yediyas Hashem is, the more a person has Yediyas Hashem, the more he knows that he doesn't know, and through not knowing, he perceives that type of yira, a special type of yira, a special type of law. For a plain individual can't have such a thing, because he simply doesn't know what he doesn't know. He's not aware of it. It's a strange kind of knowledge, but that's the type of knowledge it is. But the more, the deeper an individual penetrates according to his ability, and the more he sees Yediyas Hashem, the more he is in awe of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the more he fears HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the greater his awe, then the Maaseh Hashem have so much more meaning. He has so much more meaning. In other words, that's why David HaMelech says, Mo'enos Kisus Kareno, because he perceived HaKadosh Baruch Hu on his level. He says it doesn't make any sense. So the greater the Yediyas Hashem, the greater And the more awed a person is by the Maaseh Hashem. So what is the link between us and between the Mamlechus Kohen and the Great Kadosh? Why are we supposed to be involved in it? I mean, okay, you could say, look, the Kadosh has to be involved in it, but that's not gonna, that's like Rashi, the person that's over the Melech in that manner is not going to get too far. No, the reason is like this, that once the person has Yedias Hashem, and then he knows that HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose him to be involved in Tikkun HaOlam, that has a different meaning. That act of HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a different meaning. Has a different meaning. And that act is what moves him. The Yedias Hashem and the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose him to do this, that's an awesome experience. And because of his Avas Hashem and because of his Yedias Hashem, the Maaseh Hashem is something which, if he understands it, he's on the proper level, he goes automatically and he's happy to do it. Because in other words, the Avdus, which is the Avdus we said is, we define Avdus as Liachaman Torah. The Avdus of Liachaman Torah is based upon the event at Sinai, Vatam Tiyuli Mamlechas Kahan of Agar Kadosh. But a person who has proper Yedias Hashem, which means he has the Das of the Ovos in the proper way, that Maaseh Hashem is something which moves him, and to do those activities give him great simcha. Tachas Hashem Avant Hashem Lekecha B'simcha V'tuv Levov, it means that if he has the proper Yedias Hashem, the idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is concerned with this world is itself something which is to him paradoxical, and the idea that he was chosen to engage in Tikkun HaOlam through HaKadosh Baruch Hu is something which is awesome, and he does it readily. He's Ove Hashem B'simcha V'tuv Levav. But the pasuk of Tachas Hashem Avad Hashem Lekecha B'simcha V'tuv Levav doesn't mean in terms of intrinsic perfection, because in terms of intrinsic perfection, what kind of statement doesn't make any sense? What do you mean? Intrinsic perfection means a person is doing things with small. A person doing things with small, these are the best things he could do. So there's nothing, of course he's going to be happy. I could not be happy. It doesn't make sense. The reason he's doing it, the reason that he's doing it is because he perceives that this is the true happiness of man. So, Kodem Matan Torah, in terms of perfection per se, you can't say Tachas Shel Avad Hashem L'Simcha V'Tuv Levav. I mean, it has to be B'Simcha V'Tuv Levav. But Tachas Shel Avad Hashem L'Kecha is referring to the mission, the V'Atem Kili Mamlechas Kahana V'Gay Kadosh, the system of Klal Yisrael, the role of Klal Yisrael, the special role, the Shavas that the Rebbe Elazar Kalia talks about. That's the whole kina of Yirmiyahu. The person should be elated that the Borei Olam, the Adon Kol, the one that we can't know, we can't describe, chose us to do this. That should give a person the greatest simcha. And that really is that's the whole concept of Yom Tov, Moshiach Bocha Boni Mikol Anan. What does it mean? The simcha that a person should experience if he has proper Yedias Hashem. The fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu Bocha Bonu Kol Anan should result in an unbelievable state of simcha. Yes. Moshe Ben is different. First of all, how is this in the Moshe Ben? First of all, you have to understand that Moshe Ben's arguments are not simple arguments. Essentially, what the argument said in Tosh B'Chsav is he didn't want to do it because he felt he's not the person for the job. Lorish Devar Manochi, Shlach Mabiyat Tishloch, differently. Not because he didn't recognize the greatness of the event. He never said to Tosh B'Chsav, this is a bad idea. He didn't argue on that. I mean, if his mind would not have grasped what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was doing, he would have argued on that. Because a person on the level where he's a Navi, he talks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so he has to say what he thinks. So, but that is Naga. Just said he's not the person. He's not the individual for this. Himself, separately. But the greatness of the event, you have to understand that the Maimar HaSinai is not simply taking the das ha'ovos and giving it a tzura for a mitzvah. It's not that's what people think of it, but it's not true. The Maimer HaSinai and Mamlechus Kohan and the Gekorosh and Asher Bochar Bonu is a different thing. It means it's a role and it's a different Ashgacha, and that's why Tachat Shalavad Goshem L'Kharo B'Simcha L'Tuv Levov is mentioned where it's mentioned in the Tochacha, and the Tochacha is the bridge between our Kodesh Baruch Hu and between Klal Yisrael. It means you're breaking the bridge. It's the Ummah. There's no tochacha for a yachid. There's a tochacha for Klal Yisrael. So it's a different concept. It's a different role. So that really is the that's what really should move a person towards the acceptance of the of Avodas Hashem. Eved, Avdus. Avdus means something different than just doing something because a philosophical insight dictates that this is what you should do. Yeah, that's great too. That's a great thing too. But that's not what the Yadus is. That's not what Mantar is. That's Kodamanta. But you see that you cannot really, I would say, in other words, it's a direct ratio. You cannot have the proper attitude towards your mission unless you have the Yedias Hashem. And insofar, of course, Yedias Hashem is something which is infinite. So I would say, in other words, as great as the individual's Yedias Hashem is, that's how great his appreciation of his role in Avodas Hashem is. It's a direct ratio. That was Kolev Ben Yefuna. That's what Kolev Ben Yefuna did. Kolev Ben Yefuna was Mishtatech al Kivrialos. What does it mean? It means he had a mission, and the mission was part of what? Lachamat and Torah. Kibush Oret and this. I mean, this is all part of the system. This is not necessary for a person to be perfected. He does not live in Eretz Yisrael, live anywhere. So Eretz Yisrael is because of the Umay Yisraelis. And you see that perfection doesn't mean necessarily living in that certain spot, because you see the 2.5 the Shevet Reuven and Dor and Chatzis Shevet Menashe, they stayed on the other side. So, but the main thing was the Kibush Oret, because if you don't do Kibush Oret, then you're not implementing the system. So the fact that living on the other side, no problem. So it became part of our job. I'm just saying, there's no primary. It's not a matter of simple geography. But the thing is like it. So what Kolev Ben Yefuna knew was, that's all. He sensed that he was weak in terms of his mission. The mission was a mission that had to do with La'acha Matan Torah, with the aspect of Avdus, Eved Hashem. And he said he has to go back to the Avos. Mishtatech al Kivri Avos. To go back to the dust, the original dust that was based on Yedias Hashem. And insofar as he improves himself in that area, then he'll be able to appreciate, you see, the opportunity of the mission. It's an interesting thing. In Gevurim, we have there's two accounts of the Meraglim. One account is in Shlach, and the other account is in Sefer Gevurim, and in the Parsha Gevurim. And yeah. Before I get into that, one second. Before I get into that, I just want to mention. Let me just get to this to the point. That idea is the idea that has to do with the tocha. In other words, with the churban and the churban. If you're not successful, and if you're successful, the other way, the mamlachas kahana v'gai kadosh. But you have to understand like this. Maybe I'll just expand a moment more on the other point. Let's get back to this one thing. So we mentioned two accounts. So what's the difference really between the account in Devarim and the account in Shlach? Over here it says like this. You see, Moshe Rabbeinu says strange things in Vav. It says, "Vatarognu ba'aleichem v'tamru b'sinas ad Hashem al-sonu v'tzion ha'meretz Mitzrayim." They never said that. You don't find that in Shulchan. You don't find it. They didn't say that. They said that in Shlach, "B'sinas ad Hashem al-sonu." They said, "Lomar Hashem, maybe a son of Allah is also Lomas Bachov." They didn't say, "B'sinas ad Hashem al-sonu v'tzion ha'meretz Mitzrayim." I mean, that's a different statement. Two different statements. And then he said, so Rashi says like this. Rashi says, "B'sinas ad Hashem al-sonu v'tzion ha'meretz Mitzrayim." I would say, "V'hu oya oy v'scham." Rashi says, it's what psychologists call today projection. "V'hu oya oy v'scham." "Avalatem sonim also." "Avalatem sonim also." "Mashal hedyot." You see, Rashi says, "Mashal hedyot." Apparently, they had good psychologists in those days too. "Oma, ma de belibcha al rachamach, ma de belibe alach." You say you feel towards your friend that the way you feel towards your friend, rather, is what you're blaming your friend with saying that he feels that way towards you. Yeah. So, b'sinah said Hashem asam. But the question is, I mean, what kind of an idea is that? What do you mean? I mean, the idea like that has to have some kind of a framework. You see, such an idea, b'sinah said Hashem asanu, belongs to the framework, not to the das of Kodem Matan Torah. There, you can't say such a thing. I mean, if the das Hashem Kodem Matan Torah, what do you mean? It's the avdus. It's in the secondary. It's in the das of the Matan Torah. Atam Tiyulim Amlechas Kahana V'Gai Kaddish. That means they couldn't perceive. Rashi says, on the contrary, Hakadosh Baruch Hu who are this chan. But they couldn't perceive it, they couldn't make that link. You see, that's a difficult transition. In other words, the Dasa MS of Avraham Avinu, that's a straightforward thing. But this is the secondary thing, that based upon the knowledge of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yudias Hashem and Avas Hashem, then an action of Hashem becomes endowed with a certain kind of quality that draws the personality, that draws the individual. You understand what I'm saying? So that they couldn't do. That's why they said b'sinas ad Hashem al-sonu. But I want to just tell you something in general. That you take a look later, it says like this. He says Rashi, next Rashi says, Hotei Sasso, Lesino Hoysa, Moshe Lamach, Basvadam, Shailo Shnei Banim, Yeshlo Shtei Soros. Achas Shel Shakev, Achas Shel Baal. He has two fields. One is irrigated, one is not. Okay, so the one that he likes, he gives the irrigated field. The one that he doesn't like, he gives the field that has to rely on rain. He says, Shabal. Eretz Mitzrayim shall shock you. That was the good land. Shenilus alomashkos was irrigated by Nilus. Eretz Canaan shall bow. Okay. Votzianim in Mitzrayim, losses lanos. Eretz Canaan? Something's wrong. So what does it show you? I tell you. See, in Sefer Dvarim, the account is a different kind of an account. It's not a spirit. What the overt account is in Shlach. The covert account is in Dvarim. But Moshe Rabbeinu, when he gave over the account, he was telling them what they were thinking beneath the surface, not what they really said. You see. For instance, he says that what you see from here, they were jealous of the Mitzrayim. Strange thing. They were jealous of the fact that they didn't get Mitzrayim and they're getting Canaan. That's something which most people are completely unaware of. See, Klal Yisrael, simply they were jealous of the Mitzrayim. This is not fair. Why are they getting that land over there? Why are they getting it? They wanted Mitzrayim. This is not so strange. Mitzrayim was a nice place to be. So you see, what Moshe Rabbeinu was doing over here was uncovering thoughts that were not really... were not expressed openly, but they're thoughts that exist in every person's mind. Every person has such thoughts. It's an interesting thing. Why is that account given in Dvarim? Very simple question. Dvarim is the very Musa. I give a person Musa to just